Swastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyayach Chalad Ghur. Harir Evahan Tumi Bangatato Tariya. Sadigamam Apahaya Mat Pratigyam. Ritam Adikartum Avapluto Ratastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyayach Chalad Ghur. Harir Ivahantum Ibam Gato Tariyaha. Swanigamam Apahaya Mat Pratigyam. Vritam Adikartum Avapluto Ratastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyayaya Chalad Ghur. Harir Ivahantum Ivangato Tariyaha. Please chant. Tumi Bangato Tariya. Sanigamam Apahaya Mat Pratigyam. Ritam Adhikartum Avapluta Ratastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyayaya Chalad Ghur. Harir Ivahantum Ivangato Tariya. Vaishnavis. Sunigamam Apahaya Mat Pratigyam. Ritam Adhikartum Avapluto Ratastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyaya Chalad Ghur. Kariyar Hiva Hantum Upang Adukto Tariya. Swanigamam Apahaya Mat Pratigyam. Ritam Adikartum of a Pluto Ratastaha. Dhritarata Charano Vyayat Shalad Gur. Harir Ivahantum Ipangato Tariya. So, synonyms, Swanigamam, own truthfulness, Apahaya, for nullifying, Mat Pratigyam, my own promise, Ritam, factual, Adhi, more, Kartum, for doing it, Avaplutaha, getting down. Rathastaha, from the chariot. Dhrita, taking up. Ratha, chariot. Charanaha, wheel. Abhyayat, went hurriedly. Chaladguhu, trampling the earth. Harihi, lion. Iva, like. Hantum, to kill. Ibham, elephant. that leaving aside utariyaha, covering cloth. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Please repeat, fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time in a sporting spirit, like a friend's fight with another friend. Duryodhana criticized Bhishma Deva, alleging that he was reluctant to kill Arjuna because of paternal affection. A Kshatriya cannot tolerate insults on the principle of fighting. Bhishma Deva therefore promised that the next day he would kill all five Pandavas with special weapons made for the purpose. Duryodhana was satisfied, and he kept the arrows with him to be delivered the next day during the fight. By tricks, Arjuna took the arrows from Duryodhana, and Bhishma Deva could understand that this was the trick of Lord Krishna. So he took a vow that the next day Krishna would have to take up weapons himself, otherwise his friend Arjuna would die. In the next day's fighting, Bhishma Deva fought so violently that both Arjuna and Krishna were in trouble. Arjuna was almost defeated. The situation was so tense that he was about to be killed by Bhishma Deva the very next moment. At that time, Lord Krishna wanted to please his devotee Bhishma by keeping Bhishma's promise, which was more important than his own. Seemingly, he broke his own promise. He promised before the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra that he would remain without weapons and would not use his strength for either of the parties. But to protect Arjuna, he got down from the chariot, took up the wheel of the chariot, and hurriedly rushed at Bhishma Deva in an angry mood, as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He dropped his covering cloth on the way, and out of great anger, he did not know that he had dropped it. Bhishma Deva at once gave up his weapons and stood to be killed by Krishna, his beloved Lord. The fighting of the day was thus ended at that very moment, and Arjuna was saved. Of course, there was no possibility of Arjuna's death because the Lord himself was on the chariot. But because Bhishma Deva wanted to see Lord Krishna take up some weapon to save his friend, the Lord created this situation, making Arjuna's death imminent. He stood before Bhishma Deva to show him that his promise was fulfilled and that he had taken up the wheel. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashyachadishtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsaji Shadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhume Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue to hear the factual history of the passing of the great soul Bhishma Deva Mahajan. As we were pointing out yesterday, it's interesting that in that list of how many Mahajans? 12 Mahajans, many of them are Kshatriyas. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, and then starting with Manu. Manu is Kshatriya, he's administrator. Pallada, Kshatriya. Janaka, Kshatriya. Bhishma, Kshatriya. Balir, Kshatriya, Bali Maharaj. Vyasaki, not Kshatriya, he's Shukadev Goswami, just great Avaduta. Balir, Vyasaki, Bayam. Payamas means who? He says me. Who's me? Yamaraj, he's also Chachri. So we see how many Chachris are out of the 12. So Bhishma Dev is one of those great souls. He's a Chachriya, courageous, skilled warrior, administrator, but at the same time, very astute, follower of Vedic principles, knower of Vedic principles. He can teach the Vedic principles, even on his deathbed of arrows, he's teaching. We can't imagine the situation, how it would feel. Like Sura gave a little indication from his own what he's going through right now, but he can't imagine so many arrows piercing your bodies. Even one arrow hits an artery, you die. If you don't get immediate medical attention, you can imagine. Every single artery, every single major organ in his body is pierced by arrows, which means there's no blood left. If you get pierced by arrows, there is no blood left. Everything is drained. But he's such a powerful individual that he can maintain his life years in that body. Now we have other examples of that. Even amongst the demons. Who is a famous demon? Hiranyakashipu. Maintaining his life years in bones. Everything was gone. Not just the blood, the flesh, the skin. Everything was gone. But he was also so powerful that he was maintaining his life years in just a skeleton. Covered by an anthill. Still, because of his determination, maintaining his life here and such. So, it's possible by those who are advanced, not only spiritually, because we could say technically that, you know, Hiranyakashipu was not really a spiritualist. He was a demon, an enjoyer, a sense gratifier. But because of the strength of his determination, he could maintain his life here in that situation. So, Bhishma Dev, on the other hand, is a great devotee. And automatically, those who are great devotees are great yogis. Prabhupada pointed that out. They don't have to separately study the Ashtanga Yoga system, learning. Of course, Prabhupada also says, in relation to the passing of Dhritarashtra, that at some point in time, during the Vedic culture, every gentleman knew how to do this. How to control the life bearers and leave the body when he wanted to leave. Self-immolate, if necessary. These things were known. These are yogic processes that were known by any gentleman, Prabhupada said, could do that. Dhritarashtra, as we know, left in a fire of self-immolation. Sat down, and by concentrating, he started a fire from within his body, which consumed his whole body. So Prabhupada said in that pastime that every gentleman knew how to do this at some point in time. This was not such a big deal. For us nowadays, we can't imagine. We can't imagine. There's some cases, if you read, you can search on the internet, there's some cases where this seems to have happened, where a person spontaneously ignited. And so there are still, even in the modern era, some cases of this happening. But in that time, everybody practically knew how to do this. So Bhishma Dev, great soul, great devotee of the Lord, and he's lying on this bed of arrows. The body is completely finished at this point, as we said. But because of his determination and because of the grace of Lord Krishna, he's able to maintain his life here and instruct the Pandavas in what to do and what not to do. And we should always remember this. Instruction comes in these two forms. Yama and Niyama. What to do and what not to do. Not just what you should do, but what you shouldn't do. And we have to take both seriously. We get instructions from Guru, from Shastra, what to do, how to conduct ourselves, and what not to do. You see, sometimes we ignore the not-to-dos, or sometimes people concentrate on what they shouldn't do, but they don't sometimes concentrate on what they should do. So, we know from Chaitanya and Charitamrita that Haridasa Thakur was glorified as both someone who knew what to do, preach, and also what not to do, how to behave properly. Sanatana Goswami glorified him in that way. That you, Haridas, are special because you know what you shouldn't do and you know what you should do. You know that you must preach, but you also know how to behave properly. Because some people, they come to Krishna consciousness and immediately they catch up the idea that this is a preaching movement and especially book distribution, so they want to do that because they want to be glorified, they want to be... and so they go out and they distribute books and preach. But there are so many cases we have heard and seen personally where somebody's doing that but they don't behave properly. They chase after people to distribute books and then they take a break and go around the corner and smoke a cigarette. this is not. So, yes, they get some credit for doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing. But we should come to the platform where we not only do the right thing, but we act properly also. We preach, but we behave properly. Both things have to be there. Because ultimately, preaching means preaching by example. So, As we know, we've heard this morning, Gunagrai Maharaj, a great stalwart fighter in Srila Prabhupada's movement, left his body yesterday. This is not an official memorial, but we're going to leave some time at the end to speak something about Gunagrai Maharaj. I had personal experiences with him, so I'll share that and then open the floor to others who have had also personal experience with Maharaj. So here, Bhishma Dev has, first of all, been put in a situation where he had to make this strong vow to force Krishna to fight. And the story is, many of you know from Mahabharata, and Prabhupada also mentioned the story, how Bhishma Dev was criticized by Duryodhana that you're not fighting as hard as he could. And as Prabhupada said in the purport today, for Chacha, this is fighting words. This is like burn, makes my ears burn. What? You're challenging me that I'm not fighting? Okay, I make a promise. Tomorrow I'm going to kill those five Pandavas. And I've made five special arrows for that purpose. Okay, you're a little bit satisfied, but let me keep the arrows. So he took the arrows home with him. And he felt very satisfied that the next day, everything will be over. Because as soon as the Pandavas are dead, the whole thing is finished. But Krishna knew. Krishna is a super soul. He knows what's going on. So he reminded Arjuna that at one point, Duryodhana had been conquered by a Gandharva. And you guys came along and saved them. So he owes you. He owes you. And he actually knew that. Duryodhana knew that he owed the Pandavas. But they said at that time, no, we won't take any benediction now. Maybe later. But you're free. Go home. So they freed him from this terrible situation he was in. He went home. And who knows, maybe he practically forgot about it. But this is the point now where they came and asked for the favor. So Arjuna came to the camp. And as Prabhupada said, they were fighting during the daytime like warriors. But it was like kind of in a sporting mood also. I'm better than you. I'm going to show you. This wasn't the anger and enmity and, you know, like we have in modern warfare. Where at any means, even if it means killing all the civilians, we're going to win. That wasn't the mood. As Prabhupada said previously, the civilians were not involved. They were not involved. The civilians stayed out of it, and the warriors fought against each other. And the winning group would then be allowed to tax the citizens because they were in charge. So this was the mood. It was a mood of warrior against warrior, and not just in a fighting mood, but in a sporting mood to show. Just like we have so many modern professional sports teams. Everybody wants to show the other team that we're better. So this was the mood also. So Arjuna went to Duryodhana and reminded him of the incident with the Gandharva. You've made a promise that you would give some benediction. Now I'm asking for that benediction. Okay, sure. What do you want? Give me those five arrows. So when Bhishma Dev heard that, he realized, yes, Krishna has tricked us again. But now I'm going to make a promise that I'm going to fight so hard that if he doesn't break his promise, I'm going to kill Arjuna. And sure enough, he was doing that. He was just, you know, Bhishma Dev is the great warrior. He had so much battle experience. It wasn't just, you know, that he got up one day and started fighting. He was properly trained and experienced. So many battles he'd fought. So he was fighting so hard that Arjuna was at the point of imminent death, as Prabhupada said in his purport. And Krishna had to do something. So he got down off the chariot, grabbed one of the wheels, and he was charging. Now somebody mentioned, I forgot who was, Sura mentioned that you should go to Subhas's office and see that painting. But I came back to New York a full time because I was working for the BBT, but down in San Diego with Dravida. But I was going back and forth, and I decided I'm just going to stay in New York. So I came here since 1996. I've been here nonstop and staying in the same place where I am. First of all, in Brahmacharya Vision, and I got married and stayed in the same apartment. And that painting was on the wall of that apartment. So for years, every day I would see that painting of Krishna charging Bhishma Dev with the wheel. And some devotees misunderstand it. One of my god sisters, not to name any names, but just to point out, came to the apartment one day and said, How can you live with that ghastly painting on the wall? Ghastly? Are you kidding me? This is such a moment of devotion and love, and you don't understand. So this person was not seeing this painting properly. She thought it was a ghastly painting. But like I said, every day for years I was seeing that painting on my wall. And then one morning Savas came in. He said, Archita Prabhu, I just renovated my office and I would like to have that painting. not only is he the Tamil president, he's also the head of the BBT, so I didn't have any choice. Anyway, you should go and see that painting if you haven't seen it in a while. It's just a wonderful scene of Krishna about to break his promise just to please Bhishma Dev. Krishna is God. He can do anything. He can make any arrangement any way he wants. Just like every one of us has our own story of how we came to Krishna consciousness, sometimes not even really planning to do it, but it happened. Just like I'm getting ready to travel again today. I'm leaving for Poland and Ukraine. But from my last trip, the last place I was in Riga, Latvia. And the devotee who drove me to the airport, his name is Adidev Das. His main service is cooking for the restaurant. They have their wonderful restaurant. So I asked him, as I always do, well, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? So he has a very interesting story. He joined the movement when Latvia was still under communist rule. So the devotees who were preaching, they were doing undercover. So he was in university, and he had a friend who never became a devotee, by the way, but this friend thought he saw a business opportunity. He knew these Hare Krishnas are going around distributing their books, and people are buying them. So what I will do, this friend was thinking, Adidev's friend, I'll buy as many of their books as I can from them at low cost that I can get it for, and then I'll resell them and make a profit. So this guy did that. Every time he would meet a devotee, he would buy all their books for as little as he could, and then he would go around and try to resell them. But there was not such a big market when he was doing it, because he didn't have the adhikar. Yes, as many people have discovered, distributing Prabhupada's books is not just by some material technique. We had here in New Dorka once one devotee joined who had been a big salesman in some material field, and immediately thought he would become the best book distributor. Just give me those books. And he went out to the airport. We were still doing the LAX. And he couldn't distribute even one book. It's not a material technique. First of all, you have to surrender. You have to be in the right mood of surrender and chant proper rounds and have good sadhana. And then Krishna will allow you to distribute proper books. So after a little while, he gave up because he couldn't do it. And he was shocked. Because he had such success as a salesman in the material world, why can't I sell these books? Anyway, so this friend of Adidev's, he got so frustrated that he couldn't resell the books for profit that he started giving them away. And one of the persons that he gave them away to was this devotee who became, Adidev in the long run. So he started reading Prabhupada's books when he was in university, and he became so enthralled and so attached that even now, in spite of having perfect sadhana and so many hours of this devotional service every day, he told me, he takes at least 4, sometimes 5 hours to read Prabhupada's books. So, Krishna brings us in different ways, and again, he could have arranged the situation with Bhishma Dev in a different way, but this was all Krishna's arrangement. He wanted to have his Bhishma Dev glorified for making him break his promise, and he wanted to satisfy Bhishma Dev by him seeing Krishna coming at him in a fighting mood. So with one action, Krishna does so many things. He accomplishes so many things. He protects Arjuna. He satisfies Bhishma Dev's desire. And on and on and on. So anyway, I'll stop here. If there are any questions on the verse and purport, we'll entertain those. And we'll save the rest of the time to say something about Gunakrai Goswami. Okay, no questions. I'm going to start out by reading Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami's account of what happened. He was there in person. So this you can find this on Dandavat. The title is, His Holiness Gunagrahi Goswami left his body in full Krishna consciousness. And again, this is written by, everybody says B.B. Govinda Maharaj, but it's Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj. So he writes, His Holiness Gunagrahi Goswami Maharaj, my very oldest devotee friend, the munificent kind soul who made me a devotee, passed away this morning just before 4 a.m. He was surrounded by loving God brothers and devotees, singing the holy names loudly and in ecstasy. He had been unconscious since the afternoon, but when the end was imminent, I was screaming the Maha Mantra into his ear, and each time he would respond. He was such a kind, loving devotee. A radiant star has stopped shining in this world, but now glows brilliantly in Goloka Vrindavan. All glories to my beloved God brother and friend of 47 years. Tonight he conquered his cancer and now has a Satchidananda form and life in the groves of Vrindavan with Radhe Shyam and all their myriad friends. Maharaj, you took me off the street and gave me a life at 132 Bidwell Parkway in Buffalo, New York. I am ever thankful and I forever love you. If I ever make it back to Godhead, I'll know how to spot you. You'll be the only resident of Goloka Dham with a conga drum. I love you and miss you and am thankful that you kept our deal and waited till I returned from the USA to be with you in your last pastime down here. My love is ever with you. Please be kind. Pull some strings and make some arrangements so that I may be reunited with you in Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, with tears of joy and sorrow, your old friend and servant, Bibi Govinda Maharaj. So yes, those of you who knew Gunagraha Goswami know that he became attached to playing what we call a djembe or a big conga drum. And at first, I have to be honest, I didn't like it. I think I was raised with kirtan of just mridanga as the only kind of drum. But it kind of grew on me, especially when he did it. Some devotees don't play it properly, so it actually interferes with the beat of the kirtan. But he did it properly. He did it in a subdued way and a nice way, and it kind of blended in with the kirtan. And kirtan was his life and soul. Kirtan was his life and soul. Gunagrai Maharaj was a very sharp-witted person, but he had kind of a feisty streak to him. He was, if not the first, one of the first who would answer back to the karmis when they would yell at us. In the 70s when I joined, at least, they were still yelling, "Get a job!" And Maharaj would yell back, "Get a brain!" Or another one, "Get a life!" Every time he went out, he would change it up a little bit. But he was very sharp-witted, very feisty, but completely attached to kirtan and prasadam. So he started this group, traveling group called Krishna Fest. And they would travel, mostly brahmacharis, in vans and whatever vehicles they had, from city to city, and put on mini festivals and distribute books, distribute prasadam. But it was mostly about distributing the holy name. Because he knew from personal experience, and he was convinced that if you just get somebody to chant Hare Krishna, their life is perfect, has become perfect. They're saved. They're saved from the Yamadutas. They're going to go back to God at some point in time. If not the end of this life, eventually they will make it back. So that was his main preaching thrust. Get people to chant Hare Krishna. So he started his Krishna Fest. And like I said, they would have an impact wherever they went, even to big temples, what to speak of when they descended on a small temple. They would just like explode with energy. Because here is Maharaj preaching from the scriptures, and the so many young men with him chanting Hare Krishna and producing prasadam. He was very famous for his express pizza. He would always travel with a bunch of dough already made, and then they had one of these machines that you use for like rolling chapatis or puris quickly. So he would use that to roll pizza dough, and then they would have the sauce ready. So within a few minutes, practically, you'd say, they would have a bunch of pizzas to distribute. So express pizza, prasadam distribution, the holy name, and the philosophy. He knew the philosophy. He could give very intellectual classes from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Very deliberate speaker. Not one of your, you know, just rolling off the tongue at a million miles an hour type of speaker. Very deliberate. He would think about each point and explain each point very deliberately. And so I had quite a bit of experience with Maharaj, both in San Diego and also in Potomac. I stayed in the Potomac Temple for a couple of years, and he would come there quite frequently. They would make that one of their spots that they would pass through this Krishna fence as they would travel. And he would also always come for Rath Yatra also. So I personally can attest to the fact that he was a very, very serious Prabhupada man. He was just completely sold out. He gave his heart to Prabhupada. So there was no question of going elsewhere. Not like some of our God brothers and God sisters who, after Prabhupada left, thought they had to go elsewhere. Not Gunagrai Maharaj. He was a sold out Prabhupada man. Everything Prabhupada, whatever Prabhupada said, whatever Prabhupada did, everything Prabhupada, like that. And he passed on that mood
to his young trainees. Sometimes, you know, devotees think that being a temple president, especially nowadays, so many big temples, is a position of prestige. But he was a temple president in San Diego. He's a temple president in Buffalo, probably elsewhere also. It's not a position of prestige. It means you're working harder than anybody else. You have to train so many people. It's not easy to train a person right off the streets and turn them into, you know, fix up devotee of Krishna. It's not an easy job. But Maharaj tackled that over and over and over again. He relished that challenge of taking somebody off the streets who's probably still smoking pot or whatever and gradually converting them into a devotee of Krishna. And Prabhupada said like that. They said, therefore, Prabhupada said, you have to be so careful in your interpersonal dealings, dealing with other devotees. Because to make one devotee, Prabhupada said, it's like training a tiger into being a, you know, like a circus animal. You know, it's not easy. You go to the jungle and catch a tiger and train it to be a circus animal. Not easy. It takes a lot of patience and planning and skill and determination. And it's dangerous. So the same way, to take a young man or young woman off the street and train them up to be devotees of Krishna, it's not an easy job. And that's what it meant to be a temple president. It wasn't some prestigious job that you sit back and everybody brings you the maha and you tell everybody what to do. No. Being a temple president, especially in the early days, meant hands-on. You had to hands-on. Know how to do everything, how to train new people, how to do everything like that. So Maharaj was that kind of person. Very, very deliberate in his activities. Very, very deliberate in his interaction with other devotees. And therefore, you see, if you go on Facebook now and other places, the devotees are exploding with glorification of Gunagraha Goswami. And he deserves it. Okay, I'll stop here. Maybe a few more because I have to go home and pack. I'm always a last-minute packer when I travel. If anybody else I know, for instance... I will read. I'll save some time to read Maharaj's, Gunagrahi Maharaj's offering to Prabhupada this year. So, bring the buyer's mic, please. Yes.
Maharaj left his mark here. In 2011, he and Ajamil...
Why not? A little more volume on the first line. That's
he and Ajamil came for a kirtan night. This was the first Tuesday of June 2011. The next day, and it was wonderful, our temple president was here. Some of you might have been present. I was there, and it was so enlivening. The next day, Shampriya Mataji and Jagajanani Mataji, in separate conversations, said, "Excuse me, wouldn't it be nice if we kept on going?" And we have. So the next Tuesday, he was very kind to me. Shastakrit Mukunda Dutt, Vanabhata Shampriya, and Madi began the next time, and we haven't stopped since. I would email Maharaj, and he was so happy that we had continued. And the last 2 years, he wouldn't reply because he was ill. Before he went to Vrindavan, he did visit, and he had hoped that we would become part of the temple here. I'm sorry. I just want to mention the devotees who are continuing. Amrita Gopi, Nagapatni, Karuna Darini, Madhurika, Priya Darshani, Ayandavi, and Bhaktin Paula are continuing. And our new Bhaktas, Bhakta Brad, Bhakta Ivan, Bhakta Joshua, Bhakta Devan, Argushti, Bhakta Argushti, Deva Vrata, Yogamaya, Prabhu, Vasu Prabhu, Abhijit, Pavan, and Arjuna. And I'm praying that they will continue with this effort forever.
Haribo, thank you. Satya Narayan Prabhu, who knew Gunagrahi Maharaj very well? Satya Narayan first.
Like for B.B. Govinda Swami, Ayojapati Prabhu, Gunagrahi Maharaj was my first temple president at Bidwell Parkway. In fact, it was the third temple. There was first temple was LaSalle Street, run by Bhagavan. The second was Englewood Street, which was run by Tejas, and then Bidwell Parkway by Gunagrai Maharaj. They all ringed the University of Buffalo, where we all went to school. And I just remember it being such a warm, inviting place. He established that mood, and the prasadam was ambrosia. And he was out there with us, chanting with playing mridanga in the snowstorms for hours and hours. We would go, and he was leading us, and also door-to-door sankirtan. And the way he left, we should all be so lucky to have 50 devotees chanting loudly with a big tulsi leaf on his forehead. If any entities were ever thinking of approaching him, I mean, he was just perfectly, everything was perfectly arranged by Krishna that he have a rapid transport back to the spiritual world. So, all glories to Gunagrai Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Yes, if you go on the Dhanabad site, you'll see that there are pictures accompanying the article that I read. But what it reminds us is that we don't really know each other. We see a body. Gunagrai Maharaj is not that body, that emaciated body with the mouth open that you see in the pictures. Gunagrai Maharaj is a sparkling, eternal part and parcel of Krishna, and so are all of us. So we have this tendency, because we're still materially contaminated, to relate to each other like bodies. We're not these bodies. We're the shining spirit soul within the body that we haven't seen. We haven't seen ourselves, and therefore we haven't seen each other either. So, but we should remember that when we're dealing with each other, that we're not dealing with a white body or a black body or a female body or a male body. You're dealing with a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And keep that in mind, and that will make us deal with each other properly and not be, you know, affected by age-old prejudices and lack of understanding, which we bring with us from being conditioned in the material world so long. So, yes, Kriya Shakti Mataji.
Yes, when I was a new devotee, I joined in San Francisco and then got traded to San Diego, where Gunagrai Maharaj was just becoming temple president. At that time, Bhaktidas had just left, and Sringa Chaitanya also. So he was really the first temple president that I for a long period of time that I had. So he created a real family atmosphere in the temple, him and his wife, Kirtika. She was quite involved in decorating the temple and deity worship, and he was like our dad. He was very approachable, and he had kind of an odd way of slapping his foot when he did kirtan. He had the Gunagrai step, we used to call it. But I remember the temple room was upstairs at Third and Thorn, and I remember that when he when we heard that he was going to lead kirtan, or if, you know, we were all late and we heard that he was leading kirtan, everyone would come running. His kirtans were really famous. He also did rest stop prasadam distribution. That was kind of a new thing. Oh, and he loved potato chips. If anyone would make potato chips, he really liked potato chips. I remember he had me cooking burfi in quantities at one time, and he was distributing them, wrapping them up and distributing pieces of burfi. He also developed this style of kirtan that the mantra in a sustained tune would be sung for hours. He did that. That there was not a lot of tune changing when there was mantra, but he would sing in one tune for an hour or so. And his belief and thought was that we should get into the mantra and not so much be involved in trying to change tunes and, you know, do acrobats with the Maha Mantra and music. So he had a very mellow kind of sustained, that's what he sort of developed. He had asked me to come and preach with him in South America at one time in like 2007 when I was in Houston. And he was very generous and, you know, was offering health care and, you know, all transportation. And he took care of the devotees there very nicely also. But I just always remember him as a very kind, loving dad sort of figure in the temple.
Thank you for that. Yes, he's a very serious devotee, and he knew that he was in it for the long haul. He wasn't doing it for immediate glorification or anything like that. Whatever he did with a long-term vision. He was a visionary, and that's another part that many devotees don't know. Like being involved in Argentina, as you pointed out. He went there and he put a lot of energy into the Argentine Yatra, and it's paid off. I mean, they were able to raise money to buy a temple, and just a lot of, like I said, he had long-term vision, and he himself was in it for the long haul. There was no question of him going anywhere else and being anything else. He's a devotee, a Christian devotee, a proper disciple. That was his life. And like you said about the kirtans, again, that was something about him that I didn't appreciate in the beginning. Like you said, not a lot of melody changing. He would just chant one melody repeatedly over and over and over and over. But after a while, it grew on me. And, you know, that was just an expression of his seriousness about chanting. Because, again, like I said earlier, he realized early on that the chanting is what it's all about. We are Hare Krishna devotees. We chant Hare Krishna. So if you don't get into chanting Hare Krishna, you don't make progress rapidly. You really have to get into chanting. So he made sure that his new men, when he made them off the streets, immediately they got into chanting. They chanting japa, but mostly chanting kirtan. Because if you get into the kirtan nicely, then your japa will flow nicely. If you don't get into kirtan, the japa becomes a burden. You just want to get it over with and stop. But when you get into these sustained kirtans like he had, you really start to appreciate the mantra. It wears you down. It wears away your impurities. That's what it's meant for. The more we hear Hare Krishna chanted, the more we chant Hare Krishna ourselves, the more impurities go away. And Maharaj knew that, so he would have to, sometimes they would wonder, well, is he going to stop so we can take some prasadam? But he would just go on. Okay, maybe one or two more, and then we have to go. Then I have to read the offering, and then we'll stop. Yes, Prabhu.
So I had the good fortune of working with Maharaj for several years in San Diego. And in fact, when I first started coming to the temple, I was in the Navy at the time, and I would come to the Sunday feast. And Maharaj oftentimes was there, and he would just pull me into the kirtan right in the middle. I didn't even know his name. We never even talked, but he would just pull me in. And it was that kirtan ras that kind of brought me in. And then, of course, his love for prasadam. There were several times when I was having difficulties in my own personal service, and he would say, Kavi, come here. We're going to go. And by the way, he opened at least three restaurants in San Diego and was very involved in that work. And a few times he'd say, Kavi, come here. We're going to try something out. And he said, today I want to try out this. I've frozen some halva. We're going to have frozen halva with ice cream. We're going to see how this is. So he had this joy. His joyfulness in service, he was a very grave person and a very sober person, but he also had this joyfulness for the actual activity of devotional service. And that was always something that we experienced. And also one other thing I wanted to say is he was everyone's friend. If you didn't know Maharaj and you met him, you just felt like, wow, this is a friend. And that was something that I saw with just everyone that he met. And he really helped so many people come to devotional service. Yeah. It has to be thousands and thousands of people.
Yes, definitely.
So that was Maharaj.
Yes, and he wouldn't abandon. Even if they had problems, they would fall down, fall away. He's the kind of person that would stick with them through thick and thin and bring them back and bring them back again and bring them back again.
Yeah, one time I was first considering getting married, changing ashrams. Maharaj came to me. I was in the kitchen cooking. He said, Kavi, he said, come with me. He goes, we'll jump in my... He always had a rat. He had the Vaikuntha rat, which was an RV. He said, Kavi, just come with me right now. Let's just take off. We'll go preaching.
All right, Lord. Anybody else? Maybe one more, and then I'll read the offering. Yes.
I was only able to meet Gunagrahi Maharaj once, and it was my first night in Vrindavan. A devotee dragged me to his kirtan in his later days when he was starting to, when his cancer was developing. He was having a nightly kirtan at his place every night. And I remember seeing him, and his body was emaciated, but he was completely joyful and blissful. So my memories of Gunagrahi Maharaj is just being a warm friend to whoever came into those kirtans. And from what it sounds like from all the memories, it's just who he was constantly.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, I'm going to read his offering in this year's Vyasa Puja Monk. Dear Most Srila Prabhupada, please accept my prostrated obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. On this most auspicious day of your Vyasa Puja, I would like to share with you that during this challenging period of my life, which is filled with the difficulties of advanced cancer, what is most important to me are your wonderful self and your gifts. And first, among those glorious gifts is the divine kirtan of the holy name. My first taste of that divine name, which came at a Sunday feast kirtan in Buffalo, New York, in 1969, impacted me in a way that I never felt before. It gave me newfound faith in your Lord Krishna, along with faith in the knowledge you were imparting. It forever changed the direction of my life and established you as the captain of my ship and my lowly self as the sweeper of its deck. During those early years, my faith and enthusiasm for kirtan kept increasing the more I heard you and saw your ecstatic smile and transcendental energy, such as when you leaped into the air in ecstasy at those memorable Rath Yatra kirtans in San Francisco in the early 70s. And as you chanted and danced enthusiastically in your temples and on Harinams, undeterred by your aging body and failing health. In those and many other ways, you never stop showing through your example and instructions that holding kirtans both among ourselves and for the general public is our true life and soul. Since that very special moment at the Sunday feast in 1969 when Krishna became real to me, you have led me on a most wonderful adventure that never seems to end. As the years have passed, I have taken part in thousands of joyous kirtans filled with the happiness of chanting congregationally. I have experienced the miracle of Krishna's holy names working magic on me and many others, making devotees out of sinners, eradicating interpersonal problems, inspiring bonding among individuals, and even making friends out of enemies. Along with some devotees who are caring for me, I have now been in Vrindavan, a most special land that I have been given access to by your mercy alone, for over 2 years. Each night we welcome guests to our Vrindavan Kirtan Sangha, which, by Krishna's grace, has become a well-known event internationally, and also the very highlight of my life. In fact, it has given me life. Thanks to your divine grace, I never cease to be amazed by the variety of our guests, the excitement we all feel, the joy and affection among us, and my feeling and mood after taking shelter of the devotees and the kirtan. Forgive me, my eyesight is going and there's not enough light here, so that's why I'm reading a little falteringly. Even after I may have first felt too much discomfort even to leave my bed to enter the adjoining room to attend the kirtan. In fact, many days I feel so inspired by the kirtan, and after getting help to get dressed, I then walk unassisted to the kirtan and dive in. And by the time the kirtan ends and the loving interactions have come to a close, my pains and woes miraculously seem hardly worth paying attention to. What a marvelous natural pain medicine, and what a benediction to have been given that medicine, the holy names, by your divine grace. Among your many gifts resulting from our kirtans, Srila Prabhupada, one I find very special is that young, blossoming devotees who I just meet, or who I knew during their infancy, childhood, or youth, and who have grown up under your shelter, have been coming to our Sangha, playing instruments, and leading the most inspiring kirtans, having been inspired in their own homes and yatras. The association of these devotees is wonderful, and for me to connect with them while we chant and then to bond with them more intimately after kirtan are experiences I will always cherish, and the friendships continue. And lastly, I find it of ultimate significance and certainly remarkable that you have shown by the success of your glorious worldwide movement that due to your dedication, purity, and unalloyed surrender, you have achieved your cherished goal of fulfilling the prediction of Lord Chaitanya and the desire of the Guru Parampara that the holy name of the Lord would be heard in every town and village of the world. I feel truly blessed and fortunate to be taking part. Kirtan is filling the hearts of your devotees and bringing together people of all classes, nationalities, and ages who enthusiastically chant and dance together as they gradually break free of all bodily distinctions. Your gift truly offers all of us that taste of the nectar we always sought but had never been able to identify until you found us and rescued us. In our kirtan room is a large, beautiful painting of your divine grace done by a dear friend. In it, you are smiling in great happiness and showering your infinite mercy on us all. I so badly need that mercy, and I thank you and thank you again and again. Wherever I am, I pray that your divine self and your simple truth, just chant Hare Krishna, will remain forever foremost in my heart. Praying to remain your humble servant always, Gunagrahi Das Goswami. Gunagrahi Maharaj Ki Jai. Krantarashim and Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.